But man, I'm excited. I'm excited for today. I'm excited for all that Jesus is doing. We've been in, to start this year, 21 days of prayer. And we started it with fasting, and we're on day 14. So we're ending our second week. And we've been praying specifically as a church for the first week was revival for ourselves and our family. This week has been revival for our church. And this coming week is revival for our city. And we want to see revival and reformation in our city. We want to see businesses flourishing. We want to see the power of God moving in our city and truly an awakening in our city where souls are saved all over Caldwell, Nampa, and the Treasure Valley. Amen? Yes. Amen. You guys believe that?
Yes.
Amen. You want to see that? Okay, so we're on day 14, and today we've been praying this morning that God would pour out His Spirit afresh in our church. And so I want to just actually lean into that for a minute before I preach. I really want to just pray into that with you guys. Can we just pray? I want to pray for that specifically. I know we've been doing, you know, some prayer already, but I want to pray for that specifically. And then I want to pray for the fires that have been happening in L.A., and we're going to pray that God just works miracles in families who have lost homes. I have friends in L.A. None of them specifically have lost homes, but are close to the fires. And it's crazy what's happened there the past couple of weeks. And so we're going to pray for those two things, okay? So let's pray for the fires first, and then let's pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our church. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, we thank You, Jesus, that You are the God who saves. You are the God who saves. Lord, that word saves means saved, healed, delivered, and preserved and rescued. And so, Lord, we just pray right now that You would bring freedom and salvation to every family that has lost something due to these fires. Lord, we pray for Your grace. We pray for angelic protection. We pray, Jesus, that You would, Your will would be done and that You would have Your way in the city of L.A., Lord, this great city it's a beautiful city. There's beautiful people there, Lord. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that You would have Your way in these families that have lost homes. They've lost possessions. They've lost all these things. They're displaced. And so, Lord, we pray that You would pour out Your Spirit afresh over Los Angeles. That You would pour out Your Spirit over these families, Lord. And when everything is lost, I pray that they'd be found by You. Lord, when they've lost homes, when they've lost loved ones, when they've lost possessions, I pray, Jesus, that Your Spirit would pour out in that place. And Lord, I just pray for the churches in that area. Lord, I pray for Oceans Church with Mark Francie. I pray, Jesus, for Garden Church in Huntington Beach, these churches that I know and love. I pray, Jesus, that You would bring revival to these churches and that that city would rejoice because the righteous are prospering. Would You do a new thing in Los Angeles? And Lord, I pray every bit of destruction that's happened, Lord, would You raise up a new standard in that city, that these fires would end completely, Lord. We bless that city in Jesus' name. And every word curse that's been spoken against that city, it's too wicked, it's too dark, it's this and that. Lord, I thank You that in the 70s, we've all been blessed because of the Jesus movement. And Lord, You did something great then, and I pray You do something great now, and that California would be saved in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's pray for our church, okay? Lord, we just thank You, Jesus, for our church. Lord, we thank You for these 21 days of prayer. And Father, we do pray for a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit in our church. And Lord, if You did it in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, and then You shook the building in Acts chapter 4 when they prayed again, we pray that You would shake everything that can be shaken. Would You shake everything that can be shaken, and would You pour out Your Spirit afresh in our lives, every bit of conformity and complacency that we have had due to religion, would You shake it off so that we can experience the more of You? Would You shake off apathy? Would You shake off complacency? Would You shake off familiarity to the things of God? Lord, and I believe we've seen nothing yet for what you want to do. Lord, we've seen a first great awakening. We've seen a second great awakening. But we pray for a third great awakening in our church, in our city, in America. Lord, America needs Jesus. Idaho needs Jesus. Caldwell needs Jesus. And so we pray, would you wake us up? Would you send revival? Would you pour out your spirit afresh in our lives so that we can know you better and be more like you in our world? We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this. And everyone said, amen. Come on, if you agree with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, who's excited for all that Jesus is doing? So good. There's so many things to celebrate and be thankful for, and he's on the move. Jesus is on the move. And tomorrow, yeah, we've got inauguration tomorrow. Praying for that. Thanks for praying for that, Pastor Matthew. And then MLK Day is tomorrow. And I was thinking about Martin Luther King this morning. We were talking about him this morning. And just a prophet. He was a prophet. In his day, going against injustice, against racism. And I'm just thinking Jesus is raising up more people like him. John the Baptist spirited people who were like, every bit of injustice, we're breaking it off of America. And so we remember him today as well. So, but I'm excited for the word today. Can we give it up for Jared? Jared, you're so awesome. Thanks, bro. Thanks for playing with me. But I'm excited to jump into the word, and it would be probably a good idea for me to preach on prayer since we've been in this kind of season of prayer. But I'm gonna talk today about a specific prayer from King Solomon. Who's heard of King Solomon in the Bible? Okay, and so we're gonna talk about a specific prayer today from King Solomon, and I'm really excited about this. And for people who don't know who he is, I'm gonna give a little context for who King Solomon is. And before I do that, the title of my message today is The God Listening Heart. The God Listening Heart. And it's going to be a good word. So King Solomon, if you don't know who he is, he's King David's son. And he is the one who wrote what we would call the wisdom books. So the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. Who's read those books before? My Uncle Greg would say, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. And there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, right? 31, am I getting it right? Or is it 30? 31. Proverbs 31, woman. I married her. She's right there, Alexis. Hello, somebody. There's 31, and you could basically read a proverb every day, every month. And so it's just an awesome thing to do. So much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And Solomon was known and is known as the wisest and wealthiest king, or even we could say the wisest man in history. And in the Bible, it says that there was no one wiser. There's no one, no king greater than Solomon in that aspect. Obviously, Jesus is more wise than Solomon. So I'm not saying that Jesus is on a caliber of his own. But outside of Christ, no one was wiser than King Solomon. No one was wealthier. And he was also the one who built the first temple, which is a big deal. So that he's basically the first person to construct a church. Okay, it was King Solomon who did it. And it was built with so much, it was built so extravagantly. This is crazy when he built the first temple. And it's so amazing that he did this, because there was no place for people to go and bring offerings to God. There was no place for people to go and bring worship and offerings to God. And so many of the Hebrew people, many of the Israelite people, were bringing offerings to God in high places where other gods were worshipped. And King Solomon goes, we're not doing that anymore. We need a place to worship God for ourselves. And so King Solomon builds the first temple. And if that temple was built today, it would be worth $200 to $300 billion. $200 to $300 billion. And some people are like, you don't have to build a church and make it expensive. And Solomon's like, no, we're making it $300 billion. And he literally, the inside of the temple was, it was paved with gold. They had cherubim angels in there that were like 20 feet tall, I think it was. And they are completely solid gold. And so people say that the temple that he built would be worth $300 billion. And he was, and the reason he did this is because he's like, if my house looks like this, then God's house better look like this. And he wanted to build something beautiful and excellent for the Lord. Solomon was a cool dude in that way. But he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect by any means. Solomon, towards the end of his life, King Solomon definitely had some falling outs. I think he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. And they were, you know, from different tribes, different people groups. And so he definitely made some errors. Amen. But someone's like, amen, he did. He sure did. But whenever I would hear Solomon preached about in church, I always would hear this story. And we're going to open this up today, where Solomon had like a genie in the bottle experience. Anybody know what I mean by that? Like the genie in the bottle where the genie pops out in Aladdin. He was like, give me three. I'll do anything you ask. Three things, you know? And Solomon has this experience. We're going to open it up. It's in 1 Kings 3:3-12. And he has this experience where after making an offering to the Lord appears to him in a dream and basically asks that question. He's like, if you could have one thing, Solomon, what would it be? And we're going to read this, but growing up, I always heard that Solomon asked for wisdom. Who else heard that? That Solomon asked God for wisdom. And I'm gonna break that thing today. Solomon did not ask God for wisdom. He asked God for something else, and then the Lord gave him a wise heart. We're going to look at this today, and it just blows my mind. So 1 Kings 3:3-12, this is the NASB translation. It says this, now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he was sacrificing and burning incense on the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, and because that was the great high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Come on, that's some crazy worship right there. 1,000, some of you are like, I can't lift my hands, but he offered 1,000 burnt offerings, Travis. That's crazy. Okay. And so he offers 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar, and Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. How many know that God speaks to us in dreams? He still does to this day. He appears to Solomon in a dream, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. How many would say to the Lord, give me a Lamborghini today, okay? Some of you guys are like, that's what I want the Lord to give me is a Lambo. But Solomon's response to this was pretty profound. In verse 6, he says, then Solomon said, you have shown great faithfulness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great faithfulness that you have. Wait a second. Yep. You have reserved for him this great faithfulness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is to this day. And now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am like a little boy. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart. This is his prayer. Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is capable of judging this great people of yours? So Solomon doesn't ask for wisdom. He asks for an understanding heart. And I was thinking about this week, and I was just thinking about this moment where Solomon's asking God for an understanding heart. And when you look up in Hebrew, which is the original language that this was written in, that word understanding I believe that this is a mistranslation. I bless whoever translated this. But that word understanding 700 more times is the word hearing or listening. And so Solomon, if you were to really translate it back into its original language, is saying this: would you give your servant a listening heart, a hearing heart, to discern between good and evil? And I want you to look at what the Lord says. He says, now it was pleasing, this is verse 10, in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself a long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the lives of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done it according to your words. And behold, I'm giving you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you nor shall one like you arise after you. Okay, we're going to read it in the Message translation, but I'm going to read 7 through 12. And I want you guys to see how Eugene Peterson translates this. It says, now here I am, God, my God. This is Solomon again. You have made me your servant, ruler of the kingdom in place of David, my father. I'm too young for this job. I'm too young. Anybody ever felt this way? Disqualified, unqualified for what the Lord's called you to do? This is Solomon right now. He's like, I'm unqualified. I feel like a little boy. Okay, so he's like, I'm too young for this. I'm a mere child. I don't know the ropes. Hardly know the ins and outs of this job. And here I am, set down in the middle of the people you've chosen, a great people, far too many to ever count. Here's what I want. Give me a God-listening heart. Give me a God-listening heart so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil, for who on their own is capable of leading your glorious people? So I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing in this portion of Scripture, Solomon's prayer, the number one thing he wants in order to lead people and do what God's asking him to do is give me a heart that hears you. Who loves the voice of God? Who wants to hear God even more clearly in your life? And something that we believe here in our church is that God is still speaking. He's still speaking. He speaks through his word, through his written word. He speaks through his still small voice. He speaks through dreams, visions, prophetic words, signs. There's so many ways that God speaks. And what's happening to Solomon in this moment is he's realizing that his father David was way more qualified than him, because David had an intimate, presence-filled relationship with Jesus. He had an intimate relationship with the Father where he could hear the Father speak. I mean, come on, you guys. You can't read Psalm 23 and not know that David is listening to God as he's writing that thing. You can't read the Psalms and go, these aren't inspired. No, they're so inspired because David is a man of the presence. He's a man of the presence. He's a man of worship. He knows how to go in and come out. He knows how to hear the voice of God. And so Solomon goes, I want what my father David had. I want to hear you like he heard you. Give me a God-listening heart so I can speak what you're saying to these people. And here's what the father does. He says, great prayer. I'm giving you a wise heart. Why is God giving him a wise heart? Okay, you guys ready? I'm going to jump into this. But I'm so excited for this. You've got to follow me today, because Scripture interprets Scripture. So we read Scripture to interpret it, and then it brings it to light. And I love the word. And so there's this thing in theology when you study the Bible called the law of first mention. Has anybody ever heard of that? So oftentimes to find out what something really means, you go back to the first time it was talked about. And the first time the word wise is mentioned in Scripture, it's this word hakam. Say hakam. Yeah, you got to have that. There's popcorn stuck in the back of your throat, Craig. You got to say like hakam. Okay? That's the word wise. I was just checking to see if you did that right. I know that you're doing so good at teaching finances, but can you hakam? Okay? So that's the word wise. And in Genesis 41, that's the first time we see the word wise. And it's when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, calls for wise men, his wise men, to interpret his dream, which is a dream from heaven. And all of his wise men could not interpret the dream. Do you guys remember this story? And then there's this Hebrew boy named Joseph who's been locked up in prison for 2 years, and he's a dreamer and a dream interpreter. Okay, you guys following me? So he calls his wise men. No one can interpret the dream. And he's like, come on, this dream is bothering me. Who can interpret this dream? And then the wise men go, well, there is this one Hebrew boy who interprets dream, but he's in prison. He's the one, you know, that Potiphar took a move on. And he's like, he's in prison. And Pharaoh goes, call him up here. And Joseph hears the dream, interprets the dream. And this is what it says, what Pharaoh said about Joseph. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, talking about the dream he interpreted, there is no one so discerning and wise, hacham, as you are. Okay? So Pharaoh goes, there's no one as discerning and wise as you are. What did the Lord give Solomon? He said, I'm giving you a wise and discerning heart. This is going to be so good today. So, but what did Solomon ask for? Give me a God listening heart. But God's response was, if you want to understand the way I speak, you need wisdom to interpret my language. And we see it in Genesis 41 that heaven spoke to Pharaoh. Heaven gave a dream to Pharaoh. But only one who is given heavenly wisdom and discernment could interpret the dream. None of the sorcerers, none of the other wise men who were operating by a different spirit could interpret it. Only one who had the spirit of wisdom could interpret what God is saying. And so here's what I want to say today. How many of you guys have had a word from God, or you feel like God is saying something to you, but it's a little bit confusing and unclear as well? Or you're trying to make, anybody ever been here before where it's like you're trying to make a decision, especially in our prophetic culture, if you've grown up spirit-filled, charismatic, oftentimes, you know, like my wife and I, we've made so many big decisions in our life. We moved to Dallas, we moved here, we've done so many different things. And every time we make a big decision, we always lay out these prophetic words and we ask the Lord, what are you saying? We're asking for dreams. And there's been many times, it's really good, we're asking God for a God-listening heart, but there's been many times where actually putting the prophetic words before me or these promises before me, instead of feeling clear, I feel more confused. Does that happen to anybody else? You're like, what's the Lord saying? I don't know. We'll pull out the prophetic words and you're reading them. It's like, it says I'm supposed to go to the nations, but I'm stuck here in Caldwell. I don't understand it. What's that mean? It just keeps saying it over and over again. And it's like we get more confused and then we don't know what God is saying and then we're asking for dreams or we come up for prayer for prophetic word and then they go like, you're supposed to be here. And you're like, why am I supposed to go to the nations? You know, it's like, you can get so confused because all of these things from heaven are being spoken to you, but it's a wise and discerning heart that knows what heaven is saying for the moment. So we can ask all day long, Lord, open up my ears. I want a God-listening heart. What are you saying for 2025? What are you saying for my life? What are you saying for my family? What are you saying? Are we supposed to move? Are we supposed to do this? Are we supposed to do that? Am I supposed to start this business? And let me just submit something to you, Valley Church. If we had a wise and discerning heart, we would know how to apply God's word and interpret his word for this moment at this time. But because We have not received wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Our heart, let me say it this way. Did you know that your heart, your spirit man, your heart has eyes and ears? That the way that we understand God is not through these eyes and ears, but our heart, our spirit man, actually has eyes and ears. And what the spirit of wisdom does, what wisdom does is it comes and it unlocks or unstops spiritual blindness and deafness off of your heart. And so sometimes we feel like, where is God? I don't know him. I feel confused about my relationship with him. And I want to submit it today. And this is, the Lord's been revealing this to me lately. Is it because we lack wisdom from heaven? Have we not asked God and sought God for wisdom? Are you guys okay? So we had this wild lady here a couple weeks ago or a week ago. Her name is Wendy Backlund, okay? And she taught on Friday night, and that was the only night that I could come because I was so sick. Our family was sick that weekend. And I was there, and she quoted this passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 1, and it starts in verse 20, and wisdom is a person in Proverbs chapter 1. I want you guys to hear what wisdom is doing. This is Proverbs 1, verse 20, and it says this, wisdom shouts in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. Come on, ladies. Wisdom is a female in this passage. And it just shows that you are more wise than us, okay? It's like it wasn't father wisdom, it was lady wisdom. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out at the entrance of the gates in the city, and she declares her sayings. How long, you naive ones, will you love simplistic thinking? How long will scoffers delight themselves in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Turn to my rebuke, which is the word to repent. Repent, turn. Behold, when you turn and when you repent, I will pour my spirit out on you, and I will, what? Make my words known to you. Do you see that progression again? Wisdom is able to perceive what heaven is saying. She said, wisdom says, I will pour my spirit on you, and then following that, make my words known to you. Not make my words known to you, because, are you guys getting this? It's. I know it's like, this is revelation for me lately, where I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to know what you're saying. And he's like, I know you want to know what I'm saying, but my thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. That's what the Bible says. And in Corinthians chapter 2, it says, who can know the thoughts and the ways of God? None other. There's no one else but the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God who reveals those things to us. Is this clicking? I hope it's clicking. And so wisdom says, I will pour out my spirit on you. Okay, I'm not going to fully go into this today because it's almost like a whole nother teaching, but Pastor Matthew's been getting me on this and it's just been rocking my world. That there in scripture, in Isaiah chapter 11, there is listed a sevenfold spirit of God. And in the sevenfold spirit of God, you see it in the book of Revelation 2, there's seven spirits that surround the throne of God. And the spirit of wisdom is one of those spirits. The spirit of wisdom is surrounding the throne of God, and it is how the Holy Spirit functions in the earth, and he wants to impart this to us. So how many know that you can receive the spirit of wisdom? And I want to kind of make that known to you today, because here's the deal. Our natural heart cannot interpret what heaven is saying. You can try all day long in the flesh to open up your ears to hear what he's saying. And I'll just say it this way. I've only heard God audibly twice in my life, or I actually heard it with my physical ears. But I practice hearing God's voice every single day of my life. But I don't hear it here. I hear it here. I don't hear God with these. I hear God with spiritual ears in my heart. Kind of reminds me, I don't know why it does. It reminds me of this character from VeggieTales. What's his name? Larry Boy? He's got the plunger ears. I just imagine my heart having these huge plunger ears. These huge ears that can hear God, because God wants to speak to my spirit, not just my flesh. He wants to make known to me things in the spirit, because that's where God is. God is in the spirit. The Bible says, now the Lord is the spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then it says, those who have received the Holy Spirit have become one with him in spirit. And so you might not know this, but this is what the Bible says. If you've received the Holy Spirit, you, your spirit and Holy Spirit are now one. And so the Holy Spirit wants to speak to your inner man, but we need to ask God for wisdom so he opens up our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Are you following me? And here, and I want to say this too. I believe it's possible for us to walk in the wisdom that Solomon walked in now that we're in Christ. And here's why I believe that. In Corinthians 1, I think it's 30. I don't know if it is, but it's there. It says that Jesus has become unto us wisdom. Is that right? Oh my gosh, it's right. I thought I was making that up. He says, but by doing this, your Christ, who has become to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So here's this. You don't just have access to the wisdom that Solomon had. You have access to the wisdom that Christ has. Because Christ lives in you now, and he wants to open up wisdom to us so that we can know what heaven is saying and bring that reality into our reality. Christians are not supposed to be unclear people. We shouldn't be a confused people. We should know what God is saying for us, for our businesses. We should know what heaven is saying for us, for our families. We should know what heaven is saying for us on how to parent our children, how to have a godly marriage, how to lead a church, how to be in ministry, whatever it is, fill in the blank. But God wants to give you wisdom today so that you look more like Jesus and bring heaven to this earth. Whoo! I'm preaching to myself this morning. So I want you to see this. So Solomon asked for a God-listening heart. Wisdom opens up his ears to hear in the spirit. Now look at Paul's prayer. This is Ephesians 1, 16 through 19 in the ESV translation. And he says this, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And this is his prayer that he prays for the church of Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and stop right here, this is his first prayer he's praying to the Ephesians. So how many know if this is his first prayer, it's an important prayer. So he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So what's Paul saying? Without the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you can't fully know Jesus. He's saying he's giving you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him. And then this is what it says. That spirit of wisdom and revelation opens the eyes of your heart. and it enlightens it so that you may also know what is the hope for his calling, which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might? You guys, this is crazy. He He's saying the spirit of wisdom and revelation opens up the eyes of your heart. It takes off spiritual blindness so that you can know the Lord, number one. Now check this out. Know the hope. Who needs hope today? Listen, he's like, you want hope? You need the spirit of wisdom to open up your eyes to see the hope for which he called you. The hope for which he called you. Come on, you're called today. You're chosen. If you're sitting in your seat and you don't know if you're called, I'm telling you, you're called. And there is a hope for which he called you. You're not on the back row and you're not outside of the family. No, you're in the family and there's a great call of God on your life. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation opens the understanding in your heart so that you can know what that hope is. And what are the riches? Come on, how many know that Jesus is rich? Okay? It says, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? This jacks me up, man. Do you know that you have an inheritance in Jesus? Do you want to know how big that inheritance is? You need wisdom. You need wisdom to understand how to access that inheritance here. That inheritance means nothing there. That's a bold thing to say, but I think I'm right. That inheritance, yes, there's things that happen there, but that inheritance is for here. Jesus didn't shed blood and die on a cross in heaven. He did it here. So that you could experience his inheritance here and now and how to access that inheritance through wisdom and bring it into your life today. Come on, he's got a big inheritance. He's got a big inheritance for the saints. And it's not just an individual thing. It's a corporate thing. Let me say this. You can't fully access his inheritance on your own. You've got to be connected to a body. Christianity is not you and Jesus on an island alone somewhere. If you don't love his body, you have a decapitated Christ. If you're not joined to the church and joined to his body, you're just serving the head, but you don't know his body. His full function happens when we're a family of God. Come on, you guys. But we get to experience the glorious, his glorious inheritance in the saints, in the church. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? Who wants to know the immeasurable greatness of his power in your life? The spirit of wisdom wants to reveal that to you. According to the working of his. I love that it's always his. It's not ours. It's his. It's all his. And so Paul, who is an apostle overseeing all of these churches, is praying this prayer for the church of Ephesus. Oh, that God would open up the eyes of your heart through the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him, the calling, inheritance, power, according to his might. Because if our spiritual eyes aren't open, we'll come to church and feel dead inside. Because we're not seeing what God is doing, and instead of trying to know Jesus, we're just so focused on ourselves. And then we have something called navel-gazing Christianity, where we're just always looking at us and like, there's something wrong with me. If you look at Jesus, you'll find that he's made everything right with you. Oh, man. And his work is finished and done, and there's a glorious inheritance for us to walk in. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of walking in something less than what his blood paid for. I don't think I'll get to heaven and Jesus will go, Jonah, you exaggerated what I did on the cross. It was less than what you talked about. I didn't do that, all of that, what you talked about. No, I think I'm going to get to heaven and go like, you just scratched the surface of what my death, burial, and resurrection, my outpouring, my ascension did. You just scratched the surface. Come on. It's true. All right, I want you guys to turn to James chapter 1. This is our last verse today. James chapter 1, verse 5. Here's what James says. He says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Meaning, have you ever asked someone for something, like, let's say a dad? It's a good example. I'm thinking of Cruz asking me, like, Daddy, can I have an apple right now? I'm like, buddy, you just ate an apple. And it's like, you can have this picture of God where we're asking him for something, and he's like, sure, I'll do it. But it's not with a heart that is full of reproach. But here, James is saying that when we ask God for wisdom, he pours out the spirit of wisdom generously. Without reproach. He's like, finally, you got it. What a great prayer to pray. You need wisdom. I've been saying that about you this whole time. You don't know how to think. No, I was joking. But he's like, you need my spirit of wisdom to come on your life. And it says he'll pour it out. The picture I have in my mind is the Lord dumping a bucket on us. It's like when you go to a splash pad. We have these in Texas, these big splash pads. And the kids stand under the bucket, and it's like 20 gallons of water just smashes these kids. It's like, that's the picture I have when we ask God for wisdom, is he pours a bucket of wisdom. He's like, I'm making sure they get the full dose of this wisdom and that there's no drop weight. I mean, let's just pour it out on them. They need it so bad. It says he gives to us generously without reproach, and it will, say will. When you ask for wisdom, it will be given to you. Come on, if this is like an invitation from James, and he's saying, this is a prayer that will always be answered if you pray it. Anybody want to have answered prayers in your life? Well, here's one from James. He says, if you pray this prayer, it will be answered. Beware, you're going to become wise. Okay, you're going to have wisdom. It says it will be given to him, but here's the caveat to it. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Next verse. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So, that is an ouch, okay? But that's what James is saying here. He's saying, guys, here's the deal. If you ask the Father for wisdom, he will surely give wisdom to you, and he will open up your spiritual eyes, he'll open up your spiritual ears so that you can know how to walk in this life. But when you ask, don't doubt, because he's surely going to give it to you. Guys, the way that we see God reflects our prayer life, or our prayer life reflects how we see God. A.W. Tozer says this, the most important part of a Christian and of a human is what we think about God. Because who God is to you is who he'll be through you. And so if we think that he's a God who gives sparingly, we're going to pray like he gives sparingly. If we think he's a God who's got things against us, and because we haven't been going to church enough, or because I didn't pray during 21 days of prayer, or because I didn't fast, or because I've been walking in sin a little bit, I don't know if he's going to answer my prayer for this thing. You have got to realize today that his love and his grace is towards you, and he knows you need this thing called wisdom so bad that if you ask him, he's going to give it to you. And here's the deal. When we receive the gift of wisdom, it's not so that you talk like Bill Johnson. It's like, if I get the spirit of wisdom, am I going to like talk really smart? Am I going to start talking in King James Version? Thus saith my nameth. My nameth is Jonah-eth. It's like, that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom and a discerning heart can know who God is like and know what he's saying for every area of your life. Wisdom, like I said in the beginning, it lifts off spiritual fog. The spirit of wisdom is like God, it's like the sun that comes from heaven onto us, and it breaks and lifts off spiritual fog off of your life so that you can be clear. Anybody remember a time in your life where you felt like God was speaking to you so clear? I had a time like that when I was a teenager, where it was so clear. I got saved when I was 13. It was so clear, and I'm not saying this to like exaggerate or puff me up or anything. I would have visions almost every single day as a teenager. I had really wild spiritual experiences in my room, alone, seeking the Lord. I'm not going to tell you a lot of what those were. But I had these experiences with God where I was like, I am in an open heaven. Anybody ever felt like that before? Where it's like, I've got a direct line to God. Am I one of the two witnesses or something? Like, no, that's literally what I thought. I was like, I am special. I am like God's favorite, one of his chosen ones. I don't know, man, if anybody has these experiences. That's how I felt. Like, I almost a little bit of spiritual pride welled up in my heart. But God... But I think what God was pouring out in me, I had so many pastors and people tell me this when I was 15 years old. You are wise beyond your years. And I think at a young age, I don't know if I prayed for it or what it was, but I asked God for the spirit of wisdom and he opened up my spiritual eyes and ears. I remember there was one time I was in the car with my dad and my brother. And my brother Jacob looked over at my dad and he says, Dad, I want to hear God's voice so bad. Because my dad was always telling us, he's like, God said this and God said that. And I'm like, dude, Dad, you are a super Christian, you know? And my dad goes like, okay, Jacob. And my dad's driving the car. My dad was wild, okay? He is wild. He turns over to my brother and blows in my brother's ear. Okay, super spiritual dude, okay? Blows in my brother's ear, and my brother goes, ah! He literally goes, ah! And I'm like, what? I'm in the back seat of the car, like, what happened to you, Jacob? And he's like, my ear just popped. My ear just popped. Like, my physical ear just popped. And my dad goes, that's right. He's like, and my dad said this. I don't know if he knew what he was saying, but my dad said, God's opening up your spiritual ears. He's opening up your ears to hear. Come on, Valley Church. The Bible says that my sheep hear and know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Hearing God's voice is not so that we are more weird and spiritual. And Jared, you could come on up whenever you're ready. But it's not so that we become people where we walk around and it's like, you know the people that walk up to you and they're just like, I have a word from the Lord for you.
Yikes.
And they just stare into your soul. You know, Mark, what I'm talking about. It's like they stare into your soul and you're like, please don't look at me anymore. And if it's a true word from the Lord, praise God. But it's not so that we become spiritually proud. It's not so that we become spiritually proud people and we always have the word of the Lord for this hour. And I'm like, I'm totally for that. And we are a church that is very prophetic in nature. We have so many people who hear God here. But wisdom, according to these passages to me, is for us to know Jesus more rightly. And for us to know what he's saying so that we can bring what he's saying to our world. That's how Solomon could build such a beautiful temple. That's how he could usher in something, because Solomon, through the spirit of wisdom, was tapped into what heaven was saying. And heaven was saying, I need a place for my people to worship me. There's no place on the earth. There's all these other high places, but where is a temple for Yahweh? And Solomon didn't go, that's impossible. No, through wisdom and discernment and understanding, he goes, we'll do it, Lord. Let's build you a house. Let's build you a resting place. Let's build you a house that's beautiful. And let's throw all the gold in there too, because you deserve it. And I feel like I'm in this season right now personally where I have so many words, promises floating around in my head. I hear the Lord. I'm listening to him. I'm practicing listening to him every day. But I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I need God to open up my eyes and ears so I can hear him and know him better. And so here's what I want to do today. We're going to do what James chapter 1 asks us to do. If you want the spirit of wisdom, well, actually, can we all just stand to our feet? And I want to encourage you guys in this. I want to encourage you, study this. Study what I'm saying. I've actually heard no one preach this before. I want you to study and take the time. Lord, what does the Bible say about the spirit of wisdom? And I think it's going to blow your mind. It's like one of those things that I've read my Bible. I've been a Christian for not that long, but for a good amount of time. Over 10 years. And I feel like I've missed this whole thing about the spirit of wisdom. And I feel like the Lord's like, now's the time. You need wisdom. Wisdom from heaven. And so again, can we just throw up James 1 on the screen again? Thanks, Hannah. Guys, give it up for Hannah doing the verses up there. You're awesome. Says this again, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. Let him what? Ask of God. Let him what? Ask of God, who gives to all. What does he give? He gives wisdom generously and without reproach. And wisdom will be given to you. Come on, if you need wisdom today, I want you just to lift up your hand if that's you, so I know who's asking the Lord today for the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need wisdom to know what God is saying and to know Jesus better. And so I'm going to pray today what Paul prayed over the Ephesians, over you today. Lord, I pray all over this church. Lord, I believe that we're entering into a year where you want to open up our ears to hear you. Lord, I pray that we would be like Solomon. Would you give us a God-hearing heart, a God-listening heart? Would you open up our spiritual ears? And I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Come on, say it with me. Say, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, to know you more clearly, to know what is the hope of your calling, to know what is the glorious inheritance of the saints, and to know what is your immeasurably great power that you work with your might. Lord, would you pour out the spirit of wisdom on your people so that they can know how to parent well, so that they can know how to run their business well, run their home well, to hear you and know you more clearly. Open up the eyes of their heart. Open up the ears of their heart. Lord, I pray we would be a people who walk in the spirit and not the flesh. And Lord, I pray that our spirit man would come alive today. Our spirit man, our hearts would come alive. I just speak to every sleeping heart, every heart that's not awake, every heart that is blind and deaf. Blind eyes be open. Spiritual blindness be open. Spiritual deafness be open. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the wisdom that Solomon carried. We pray, Lord, your word says that Jesus has become unto us wisdom. And we know that the wisdom that Jesus carries is so much greater than the wisdom that we could ever sum up in ourselves. And so, Lord, I thank you. You've become wisdom to every person in this house. Wisdom. Wisdom. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I believe it.
I
receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open up the eyes of my heart. Open up the ears of my heart to know you and hear you clearer. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we just lift up a shout to Jesus all over this room?